Songs of Christmas, that's where we're at. Week three, I'm going to give you just a short little recap. 2 weeks ago, I talked about Elizabeth and Mary's songs and how they were songs about sharing our joy for God and then showing that joy to others through our worship and through our attitudes. And then last week, Pastor Steve talked about Zechariah's praise and how we have hope in the salvation of Jesus. And so that's kind of a really quick little recap. Tonight, we're going to focus on the last two songs. We're going to focus on the songs of the angels right after Jesus' birth. And then we're going to talk about Simeon's. And I'm sorry, I'm probably going to say Simon at some point because I'm just going to read my notes really quick and it's going to look like Simon. Simeon's praise. We're going to talk about that as well tonight. So if you got your Bible, you can go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be there pretty much all night. If you don't have your Bible, it's going to be up here on the screen. You can also look on YouVersion, all that kind of stuff. But follow along. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to read a few verses. It says here, in the same region, the shepherds were staying out in the fields and they were keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. For just a second, before we really get into the full praise of the angels, I want to focus on those last two verses there, verses 11 and 12. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. This will be a sign for you. Before all this, there hadn't been a whole lot just for the people. I want to focus on those three words, born to you. You know, we say that it's the gift of God, the gift of salvation. That's for us. Never before had these shepherds, these lowliest of the low people, been given something like this. Now, we kind of think about this and we expect Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, whichever name you want to put on him. We would think that whenever he was born, he should be born into royalty. He should be born in a big palace. There should be a lot of hubbub about it. There should be a big party. But we all know that's not the case. We know that Jesus was born in a manger because there was no room at the inn. He was surrounded maybe by some animals. He was visited by shepherds. Like I said, the lowest of the low. To us, that doesn't really make sense. But we got to think about it like this. What if Jesus was born in a palace? Let's just think for a second. If he was born in a palace, who would get to see him? Not a whole lot of people. The important people that were there in the palace, they'd probably get to see him. Maybe they would bring him out on like the windowsill or something and Simba him up, you know, over the ledge or something. But not a lot of people would get to be very close to Jesus. It's important that we remember in God's wisdom, sometimes it doesn't necessarily make sense to us, but like we sang earlier, this is how I fight my battles. I believe you overcame. I'm going to lift my song of praise for all that you've done. We got to remember that wisdom that God has is not us necessarily what we're going to think it's going to be, but we have to trust in that. We have to trust just like those shepherds who had never seen anything like this before, that God knew what he was doing. He wasn't just showing off or doing something on accident. In God's wisdom, like Pastor Austin talked about, I loved it, that growing in that trust in God, that even though it doesn't necessarily make sense right at the beginning, we have to trust that God is going to be who God says he's going to be. And we have to keep pushing through that, even though it's going to be really, really hard sometimes. Now, that's really not the focus of the message of the night. That was a little nugget, just extra. We're going to get into the real song of the angels, and it's right here in verse 13. This is what it says. Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to the people that he favors. There was one angel that brought the message, which was cool in itself. I mean, like the shepherds, I'd probably be pretty terrified if all of a sudden I was standing there, middle of the night, my sheep around me, some other shepherds hanging out, and we're laying down in a field, making sure that a wolf or something doesn't come along to get our sheep, and all of a sudden there's a bright light, I'd probably be a little disturbed, a little scared. But all of a sudden, instead of just this one angel, there's a whole host of angels. Have you ever been really excited about something? I think back to a lot of weddings that I've seen where either the bride or the groom just, they get giddy and they get a little excited and they don't really say words. They're just kind of like, you know. I didn't see this one, but I'm assuming just from punching each other that happened at their wedding a couple days ago. I remember at my wedding. Now, you can't tell it from just listening to me talk up here, but I'm a very stoic person a lot of times. I don't give off a lot of emotion. I'm pretty even keeled, other than whenever I'm talking and, you know, waving my hands a whole lot. But at our wedding, I remember standing up there. It wasn't at this church, but it was like this. Standing up here, and Shelby, my wife, walks through those back doors, and I'm like, this is cool, this is cool. And she gets up here, and we're standing here, and Shelby was giddy. She was super giddy. She's like, yeah, amen, I do. She was super excited. I was super excited, but it was on the inside. But there's times in our lives where we just get so excited, we just got to move. We just got to do something. At this moment in time, a whole heavenly host, a multitude of angels, all show up and start praising. Heaven is excited for what we're about to get to go through, for what we're about to receive. Heaven, not like just the shepherds, not Mary and Joseph, not some people that were standing around. Heaven is excited for what is about to happen. We should be moved when thinking about all the things that God is doing in this moment. Now, not this moment like this physical moment, but this moment of Jesus coming to earth to have a relationship with us. It should excite us. Man, we should get pumped up about it. When praise and worship, man, we should be going after it because we're excited about what this now means for us that we didn't have before. I think about David dancing. I really wish I could have been there, because I can imagine that David probably was as good a dancer as I am, which is not very good. David dances. His wife gets mad at him. He's like, I don't care. I'm doing it for God. There's times where we're going to look foolish for doing what we do. I just wrote down a couple of examples that I thought of off the top of my head. When we believe in the impossible healing of someone doctors have said there's no hope for, we might look a little foolish. When we keep on praying even when we're told that there's no hope. When we live out lives of integrity even though everyone around us is doing everything they can to get themselves a leg up. When we come and we worship and we praise God week after week when a good portion of the world believes that he isn't even there. Sometimes we're going to look foolish in praising our God. But I'm going to tell you the secret. When we're doing it because we're doing it for God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people say. All that matters is we're doing it because we love God. Sometimes we're going to look foolish, and that's okay. I remember my youth pastor, and I still, to this day, I'm kind of like, whatever, Jason, I love you, but whatever. He used to say, if you're not going to be a nerd for God, God's not going to use you very much. Now, what I take from that is kind of what I just said. If you're not willing to sometimes be foolish, no, I'm not talking about acting goofy or, you know, doing something really dumb. But those things that we said, if we're not willing to keep praying, even though whenever everybody else says, man, I don't know why you're praying, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. Whenever we keep believing that God can still do it, when everybody else says, there's no way. Sometimes we have to be foolish. Sometimes we have to dance like David and get excited. Sometimes, like Sunday, man, we have to really get into worship. We have to get out of our comfort zone and raise our hands and show people that don't normally see God, don't normally see a church service, that, hey, we believe this. And I can tell you personal stories of why I believe God is who he says he is. I can show you through my worship, through my love of God, that he is real, that he wants to have a relationship with you, that he wants to show you his love. But sometimes we got to be a little foolish. Sometimes we got to get out there. When we're doing it with a heart of honoring and trusting God, it doesn't matter. Just like the angels, it's in our job description to praise God for all that he does and to proclaim the peace that he wants to bring to this world. I always like kind of thinking about a job description. I remember when I was at Quick Trip, there were certain things that I had to do. You know, I had to be able to count change back. I had to be able to multitask. I had to be able to, you know, run around the store and still know what was going on. And I think it's the same way as being a Christian. There are certain things that we need to do to be a Christian. We need to love God. We need to love others. And everything else is going to fall underneath that. It's our job as ambassadors of Christ, as people who know Jesus firsthand, to tell others about it. And we do that through our praise, through our worship, through our actions, through our attitudes, all that kind of stuff we've talked about these last couple weeks. It's in our job description to praise God for all that he does and tell others about it. So that praise, it also brings about something else as well and kind of ties into that. If you keep going just a little bit further in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, it says, they being the shepherds, hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Praise is contagious. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. If you're in a stadium and, man, something good's going on and that level is just rising, that excitement. Maybe you're at a concert and your favorite band's getting geared up to play their favorite song. You hear those first couple notes of the song and you're just like, oh, here it is. Here we go. And by the time they hit that chorus, like, it's just going and it's just loud and it's crazy and everybody's excited. Praise is contagious. When we praise God, people are going to see it. People are going to feel it. I hate talking about emotions and feelings and stuff because God is so much more than feelings and emotions, but that's the start of it. Man, that excitement just builds whenever you praise, and the people around you are going to see it. This Sunday, whenever we come into this church service, man, I mean, we should always have church whenever we're here, but we want those people that aren't going to normally see it. We want them to see how much we love our God and how much he loves us. Praise is contagious. We have to praise. I think about what we talked about a couple weeks ago. John inside Elizabeth's belly. He reacted to Jesus inside Mary's belly whenever she came into the room. And then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The angels were praising. And then the shepherds caught on to it. And then they went and told people. Praise is contagious. We have to make sure that we're praising God with everything within us, that we're showing the world we really do believe what we say we believe. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just whenever I feel like praising. We have to realize what God did for us. And that in itself, to me, makes me want to praise God. Now, I'm not saying you have to get up and stand on this altar on Sunday morning. Please don't do that. I think Pastor Steve talked about the snake on the screen last week. Don't do something weird, but be genuine. David, he probably looked like a fool, but he was doing it for God, and God honored that. Whenever we do things, whenever we show our love to God, as long as we're doing it in the right attitude, God's going to get praised for it, and people are going to see it. So with that, let's keep going. We're going to go to the praise of Simeon. It's just a couple verses down. Simeon, all of this happened right after the angels and the shepherds. Now, Mary and Joseph have taken Jesus to get circumcised. And then 33 days later, they take him to the temple. They walk into the temple, and there's Simeon. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, more or less waiting for the Messiah that was promised to come. And the Holy Spirit was in Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law. And Simeon took him up in his arms. He praised God and he said this, verse 29. Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Real quick, as we finish up tonight, there's three parts of this that I kind of want to go to. Simeon was leadable. We have to be led by the Spirit. Verse 27 says, guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. If we're going to be a part of what God wants to do, it has to be Spirit-led. We have to have that guidance from the Holy Spirit if we're going to do what he wants us to do. Sometimes whenever we try to do it on our own, we're going to fall flat on our face and we're going to think, well, I was doing it for God, but it might not have necessarily been led by God. It's important that as we pray, as we read our Bible, as we spend that time in devotion to God, as we spend that time trying to figure out what God means to us and who Jesus is in our lives, it's important that we allow God to lead us. It says Simon was righteous and devout. He was waiting for Israel's consolation. But because he was following God, because he was listening, God directed him to the right place at the right time. I know there's been a lot of times in my life where I've just been going about my regular routine, but I've been listening to God and I was able to help somebody out because I was listening. There's going to be times in your everyday normal life. I don't think Simeon got up that morning and said, okay, I'm going to go to the temple and I'm going to find a Messiah. Simeon did what he always did. He was where he always was. He was doing what he always did, but in that, he was listening to God. If you let God, that's the big part of it. God will use you. God will use you to make a difference in other people's lives, but you have to be led by him. I can tell you story after story about when I was at Quick Trip, random people walking into my store, and I was able to share the love of Jesus with them just because I was there at the right time, because I was put there at the right time, and I was listening. In your life, in your daily, everyday, regular life, God will use you to minister to others, but you have to be listening and you have to be led by him. I'm not saying that we shouldn't look for opportunities to do good on our own, but when God presents those opportunities to us, we definitely need to take them. Man, go on missions trips, go on outreaches, but in your everyday life, listen, because God wants to use you to meet people right where you are when you're there. So that's the first one, be leadable. I don't even know if leadable is a word, but we're going to say it is. Number two, be content. Oh, this is a hard one. I hate it whenever I have to talk about being content because it's hard sometimes. Especially in the world that we live in, we always want more and more for us. We want the best for us. We want the best for those people around us. But sometimes we just have to be content. Verse 29, it says, "Now, Master, dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon, at some point, was told by God that he'll live long enough to see the promised Messiah. Now, we don't really have concrete evidence on who Simeon was. He may have been a priest of the temple. He may have been a Levite. He may have just been a person that went to the temple a lot. But we do know that he was where he was supposed to be. And we know that now God has fulfilled this promise to Simeon. And Simeon was content with it. This is something that I've really been dwelling on for the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, is God being enough. I can't tell you how many times over the past couple weeks that as I've been praying for families, as I've been praying for my Elevate kids, people, if you don't know, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened the last couple weeks in this church family. There's been people who have gone on to be with the Lord. There's been some big troubles. But the thing that keeps coming back to me every time is, God, be enough. When we're content, it doesn't mean that we don't want the best for our lives, but it means that whatever situation we're in, whatever's going on in our families, whatever's going on in our jobs, God, you be enough. Help me be content with what I have right now. Help me be content in where you've placed me for this moment, at this time. I've seen people, and man, Peggy, I was thinking about you today. I remember whenever Ron went on to be with the Lord, we got to see him a couple hours before he passed. And it was, it was awesome. He was just so content. He told us, he's like, I'm going to see Jesus soon. And he was good with that. I hope and I pray that whenever I get to that point in my life that I can show that kind of contentment in the Lord, knowing that God has me at that moment for a reason at that time, knowing that God is enough. Simeon, he saw the Messiah. He saw the maybe one thing that God had promised him, and he was good. How much can we learn from that? Man, that is an amazing feeling to know that God has you and God got you and God is taking care of you no matter what kind of situation you're in. So as we close, we're led by God. We're content with what God's going to do, and we tell everybody about it. Verse 30 says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And I don't mean tell everyone, like go out and tell everyone like the shepherds did. What I'm talking about here is tell everyone. A lot of times I think, and I know I even do it from time to time. I'm just going to be real honest with you. There is times where we look at people and we're like, oh, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go talk to this person. And I'm not talking about like race or gender or anything like that. Sometimes it's that person smells a little bit. I'm going to go over here and talk to this person right now. Simeon said, tell everybody. At this point in time, all we know, pretty much until Peter and Paul fight later on in the New Testament, that all of this stuff is for the Jews, right? But Simeon right here, he says that you're a light for revelation to the Gentiles. At this time, the Jews and the Gentiles didn't really have a whole lot to do with each other. They didn't like each other. They didn't hang out together. They were pretty much enemies. But Simeon, 40 days-ish after Jesus is born, is saying, God, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. You're going to tell everybody. This is no longer a God of the Jews thing. This is a God of the world thing. You want to show your light to everybody. Everyone on earth is going to need to know you. Hopefully we don't do it on purpose. But I think every once in a while we really have to look and say, do I know that Jesus loves that person as much as he loves me? Do I know that Jesus loves that person as much as he loves me? And if I know that, why am I not telling them? Why am I not showing them the love of Jesus? We need to tell everybody because everybody needs it just as much as we do. Simeon, it is thought that he may have been a priest or at least a religious person, like I said. But Joseph and Mary, if you didn't know, they were pretty poor. They were pretty much a different social class than what Simeon probably was. It says earlier in verse 24 that they had to offer two doves simply because they didn't have enough money to offer a sheep whenever Jesus was dedicated at the temple. But it didn't matter. Simeon took that little baby Jesus, took him up in his arms, and he praised God for him. It didn't matter what they looked like. Didn't matter what they smelled like. Didn't matter anything besides this was the Messiah. These were the people taking care of the Messiah. I'm going to show them love, and I'm going to praise God while I do it.